Welcome back. This is the Shock Drop episode of the year for the NBA Boys podcast. As always, I'm your host, Fletch, coming to you live on a Sunday evening, no less, with not one, but two very special guests today. We have Brian Lewis and Johnny C., John Castaldo, in the building with us to talk over everything that happened in the semifinals. Preview the finals matchup, which at this point would probably be Kappa and Shokan, but we absolutely cannot say for sure at this point. There's still games left to play on this Sunday night. And we'll touch on a little bit in the offseason too, maybe some rule changes. But before we get any further, Brian, John, how we doing, boys?
Things are great. We're loving life, 70 and sunny here in beautiful Maryland, doing a great thing here, Fletch. I'm excited to be with you and Johnny C. We have a great pod ahead of us.
Yeah, I can say this is quite the elite crew. I can't say it's 70 and sunny over here in good old Bayonne. It's more like 64 and cloudy, but life is still good. I can say I'd be lying if I would have been happier being on this podcast than being one of the elite few still in contention and having someone speak on our behalf, me and Mark, that is. But given the cards that we've been dealt this season, there's no place I'd rather be right now than with the two of you guys breaking down where we're at with this season and anticipating where it's going.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. It's been a little bit of an interesting shift here over the past couple of weeks. And in my own mind, shifting from fantasy basketball, where my team, as you guys are not really contenders anymore, and shifting to fantasy baseball. But it is good to come back, give some love to those that are still competing, because we've got money on the board and we don't know who's going to go to yet. So glad we could take the time today to set the scene a little bit for the pod. It's going to work a little bit differently than in the past. Usually I come in hot with my list of questions that I want to know the answers to and really dig deep. But this week we're going to kind of take it as more of a conversation approach. I've got a very, very minimal outline of what we're going to talk about today. We've got B. Lou and we got Johnny C. basically backing each team. B. Lou is taking on for Kappa. He's going to tell us the story of that matchup in the semifinals, and then Johnny C. is going to wrap it up with Shokan. And then we're going to go into our finals preview. So, Brian, let's kick it off with you. Give us the story of the Kappa, Blake Griffin, Mamba Mentality, Kappa versus Ian matchup this week.
Absolutely. So, first of all, got to shout out Kappa. His consistency in multiple categories this year has been nothing short of spectacular, two of which being field goal percentage and free throw percentage. I think Kappa has matched up really well with his playoff people in the playoffs he's been against, but he really did match up well against, unfortunately, I thought the better team in Ian's team, Mamba Mentality. With Steph Curry being the MVP candidate that he's become over the past, let's just say, 2 to 3 weeks, he's created quite an atmosphere on that team with three-pointers, free throw percentage, field goals, even steals, and he's just not looked back. The points scored, 1,500, well, 1,499 at this point, nothing short of fantastic, but overall, the star power has been strong. I think having guys like Kyle Lowry, Brandon Ingram, Steph, players on the teams who are on the bubble of being, you know, playoff teams, he really has gotten a great push from these playoff bound teams to just get those numbers up. And it really has been pretty spectacular.
Great to hear. I totally agree. Steph Curry has really just been carrying the load for Kappa's team so far. B-Lou, give us your take on, you know, who is your MVP of the week for this team? Is it Curry, or is there someone else that we should be looking at?
For me, I'm definitely going to stick with Curry. Unfortunately, with Zach LaVine kind of going down as, you know, recently with the COVID crap, I wish he was going to be a part of it, because he definitely is going to be. I'm not sure if he's going to be back next week, but he'll be a major, major key. And of course, Jason Tatum, you know, with the Celtics kind of being on the, not the outside looking out, that means they're kind of farther than the 8th seed or the 10th seed. You know, I think they're in the 5th or 6th right now. I think Jason Tatum's been playing very, very well. He's been playing efficiently too, and been playing both sides of the floor. Might not necessarily be showing up in stats, but overall, the team defense has been good, leading him to some quick offense and popping off for 44 and 38 just in the past few games. But I think also getting Kevin Love back in the last few weeks has been monumental for him, getting boards, getting assists, and of course throwing about 12 to 15 points a game in the last couple of weeks. So I think there's a lot of solid, consistent talent. Nobody besides Steph Curry to me, though, is the one to watch if I'm going to choose one of the bunch, though.
Yeah, for sure. Love it. There is a little bit of a story here yet to be said for the matchup. We still have some games to be played. Right now, it looks like it's been set as a 6-3 win for Kappa. However, Bilu, is there any – you think there's going to be any wiggle room in that score by the end of the buzzer tonight?
No shot. I think Kappa's locked it up. Yeah, I just think the one thing I might switch is the turnovers, but I don't think Steph Curry's going to have – Steph, between Steph, Buddy Hield, you know, McConnell never turns the ball over. I really don't think he's going to have an issue with the turnovers. That's the only one I would see that could change. So best of luck to Ian. I'm not here to push him down, but I think Kappa has tied a pretty ribbon on this matchup for this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? For Ian, absolutely not over yet. He's still got to play another 2 weeks to get that third place win of $25. So he can still
exactly
back. And so shifting gears here to you, Johnny C, tell us the story of the Hebrew Hammer, John Costal don't matchup.
Yeah, the John Costal don't name. It's an honor to be representing a team with my namesake. I think the John to John connection has been something in the mix far longer than this fantasy league. So it's an honor to be representing him in this conversation. I think when it comes to his matchup with Benny, we got a little preview earlier in the season. We saw the John Benny matchup in week 4, and I wish I could say it was a closer matchup, but it was the closest we saw to a clean sweep this season with an 8-1 win by Shokan. That only category lost by Shokan in that week 4 matchup was turnovers, which you often see when one team's dominating in the points, doing everything else right, they're bound to turn over the ball more. So you're really never going to see that 9-0 sweep. But after seeing that going into this matchup, I kind of thought to myself, is this going to be a little bit closer? Is history going to repeat itself? And sadly, we see that it kind of did. John pulled away with this 7-2 lead right now. And it's not that a lot of the categories are extremely close right now, but there is a world where some magic happens and Benny pulls away in the last second. I mean, we've seen crazier things in this league. We see that steals is separated by 2 steals. We see blocks is separated by 7. Turnovers, only a difference of 7. And field goal is pretty darn close at 47% to 48%. So if we saw this massive shift, I've been on the wrong side of the shift like that on Sunday night. So I still have John winning this thing. The margin's there. And I think that the story of this week has just been Russell Westbrook absolutely dominating more than he has all season long. We know Russ as Mr. Triple Double. We know him as just purely producing double digits in the points, assists, and rebounds categories. But even if you scope the ESPN breakdown to the last 7 days, you've gotten 21 points, 14 rebounds, 12 assists, and 2 steals a game from Russell Westbrook for John's team. Like, those numbers are absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a video game number.
Yeah, it's like, and I think that's Steph's, or I think that's Russ's mentality the entire time is just, am I putting up numbers? Is real life a video game? I think that if the closest categories that we're seeing in this matchup is steals, Russ has truly allowed John to pull away in that category with those 2 steals a game. And I think that with the remaining points, rebounds, assists, he's been the difference maker in giving him this lead over Benny.
Yeah, totally agree. So in your mind, John, would Russ be the MVP of the week for the Shokan squad?
I think it's funny that Shokan's squad also has the MVP of the league in Jokic. And it's incredible seeing a team with 2 players that are almost averaging a triple-double. You can't replicate those numbers where Jokic is just shy of averaging a triple-double with 26 points a game, 10 rebounds and 8.7 assists. So give him 1.5 more assists and he's right there with Russ. I think that there's 2 MVPs on this team all season long, But just scoping to the semifinals matchup, I think Russ has given him a little bit more in that steals category and a little bit more cushion on all the others, that he is the reason that he's going to win this matchup if it turns out that way at the end of tonight.
Yeah, and I think that speaks a lot to Shokan's ability to make that trade with Joe Salaturo mid-season. We saw the move, getting Russell Westbrook, getting Boucher. I know Boucher's hurt right now and not making a huge impact, but I mean, get Westbrook in that trade. At the time, it looked like a fair deal, and Westbrook was not playing at the level that he is currently, and this is where it pays off. So, you know, as we're going through next season and beyond, when you're making that big move, when you're looking for that trade, this is where it really impacts, boys. This is it. In the championship week, when everyone is playing at their best, this is when you want the top performance. Now,
I have a stat for you that's relatively rattling when you kind of focus in on that Russ trade in week 7.
Go for it.
Since John got Russell Westbrook in week 7, he has only lost the points, rebounds, and assist categories one time each, respectively, this entire season. Which means that if you think that that trade at the time, I agree, was, oh, this is fair, we're not going to even question it, I think that it's fair game. And I think it was still a fair trade when you look at who was traded for who. Clearly, that triple-double a week or a game is really giving John a lot of the tools he needed to end up with the record that he did. So really, I think we will look back at the season and look at that week 7 Russ trade as one of the major parts of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a big part of the reason why that was a fair trade, beyond just Russ having a, you know, he's still averaging a triple-double at the time. He's still averaging like 18, you know, 10 and 10 type situation. It's the field goal and the free throw percentage that really drew him back. And since the Wiz have been really winning, now they're in a 10th spot in the East, hoping for a chance at playoff stardom. You know, Russ's field goal percentage is close to 50% since the middle of the season. His free throw percentage has gone up about 8%, up to about 70%, you know, from the line now. And that is a huge plus for a team that needed a big trade and knew they were going to be deep in the playoffs and knew that, you know, that just, I got to give, you know, though I am representing Kappa's team, I dubbed, you know, game respects game. John made a huge trade, and I knew at the time Joe was trying to ship off Russell, and I got to applaud John for making that trade happen. Very well done.
I definitely agree. I also think that you mentioned at the time of the trade, there were some red flags that Russ was bringing to the table in some of the categories, and I think a lot of us received a trade offer for Russell Westbrook at that point of the season. Joe was trying to get a feel for who could give him what. And it gets to the point where if no one's going to say yes, he has to trade it to the favorite in the league. I mean, he's shooting for a playoff spot. And those categories that Russ really wasn't doing well in at the time, which was field goal percentage, free throw percentage, and particularly turnovers, which he's the league leader at five turnovers a game, which is ridiculous. Also like 2K numbers. But John was punting on those categories mostly to begin with. So it's an example of what you've been selling all season long, Fletch, which is if you can pinpoint the categories that you do well and not worry about the one or two that you don't care about at all, you can still be productive in this league and you can still make a shot at the championship. And I think that's exactly what John did.
Yeah, absolutely. Only takes 5 categories to win. That's it. Only 5. Now, playing to that and moving forward here, if we do get our winners of John Shokan and Nick Kappa in the championship game, we actually have a really interesting matchup. And if you take the two team stats and basically compare them as if they're playing each other this week, we remotely have like a 4-4-1 tie. And right now, I mean, the stats that I have on my Excel sheet are from earlier today before games were being played, but Kappa would take the win, just barely edging out Shokan, by in field goal percentage by like 0.002. So Bilu, let's go back to you. Let's look ahead for the next 2 weeks in the championship round. Who are the X factors for Kappa in order to pull out this win?
Sure. I think it comes down to, honestly, for Kappa's team that has been dominated by guard play, and I'll even throw Tatum in, who does kind of play a 2-3, and they haven't even listed as a 4 in this. I think the biggest X factors for me are going to be Nurkic and Zubac. You know, John Castaldon's, Shokan's team is big man dominant. And that was a major reason why he has the skilled positions of you know, the skilled players like Jokic, who is a big man but does have that guard attribute to him and the passing and the ability to have the least amount of turnovers on the freaking team. Incredible, incredible player. But those big men, Zubac playing serious, serious minutes right now, and Nurkic coming back from that injury a couple, you know, weeks ago at this point, he's really settled in as an elite big man who might not jump out at you on the points necessarily, but those boards are going to be really, really big to hold it down, and maybe his assist numbers might come up. Those steals too. Nurkic has averaged about a steal a game the last couple weeks. Huge for a big man to have those numbers. So I'm going those two big centers. And of course, I'm going to throw Brandon Ingram in there as well. The Pelicans have underperformed in the fourth quarter. When do big, you know, what happens when big players aren't in the fourth quarter? No one talks about him. Unfortunately for Brandon Ingram, he falls under that category of not really performing in the fourth quarter. But the last couple weeks, averaging about 25 a game, 6-6. I think Brandon Ingram is going to be a major, major key. Another team vying for that 10th spot in the West, I think that's going to be a major key for that team as well.
Yeah, for sure. So, Cristaldo, same question for you. X factors for John Shokan's team to pull out and win the championship.
I think that there's two kind of mindsets here. The first is just purely looking at the categories. I think the guard play versus the big man play really comes into consideration here, because we know that John has dominated in rebounds, steals, and blocks all year long. He's won the rebound, steals, and block category 70% of the time or more in all of his matchups put together. Kappa, on the other hand, has won free throw percentage and 3 points made 70% of the time or more in all of his matchups. So they kind of just take those to themselves. They both have dominated in points all season long, and they both have completely punted on turnovers. So those almost wash out as well. So now you're pulling out 7 out of the 9 categories that are either practically already decided or could go either way, because it's either all in or all out. That leaves 2 remaining categories that really are going to be the deciding factor in this matchup, and that's field goal percentage and assists. I think that both of them are middle of the pack. They've both won between 40 and 70% of their matchups in these two categories. And with that in mind, I think that the points we were making before about Russell Westbrook might give him that big push in the assist category, as well as Ja Morant being a part of his team. We know that in terms of NBA point or NBA leaders in general, you have Russ, who's the assist leader this season in the NBA. You have Ja Morant, who's 10th in assists this year, and you have Jokic, who's 4th in assists. So I think even if John hasn't been winning assist category week in and week out, he has 3 out of the top 10 assist leaders in this league. So I think that if he pulls that away, you're right. You only have to win 5 out of 4 categories. And I think more times than not, John has won games this year only with a 5-4 score. He hasn't absolutely dominated in every one of his matchups. I think field goal percentage is going to be the biggest X factor in this matchup. And I think if I was going to give a call out to both of these teams, I would be very mindful of these plugins and these players that you're streaming to what they are doing in terms of efficiency and what they're doing in terms of field goal, because that might be the thing that makes and breaks both of these teams.
I love the research that you've done, John, and you've definitely done your homework and looked into, especially, hey, John's won 70% of these categories and Kappa's won 70% of those. It speaks a lot to what you've dug into. Now, tell me more about those plug-and-play players this week, because that's a big factor with categories in general as well. Is, hey, the one thing that they all have in common is that you need playing time. You need to see the court. You need to have games played. And that was something that I dug into today as well, is like, let's extrapolate over the next 2 weeks, compare each squad and how many games that each player is set to play. How much do you guys take that into consideration as you're looking forward as well? Bilu, what do you think? Do you think that there's a legitimate factor to look into here with the games played that could affect the overall outcome?
Yeah, I think that's been a key factor for a lot of our conversations throughout the podcast and throughout our, you know, our weeks of play. Is happening. You know, we're always talking about minutes played as well as the actual games played. I think we spoke about before the actual pod how there will be a discrepancy in games played. They're not going to be very similar. I think we said it was a 6-game difference between, you know, Kappa and John. So off the bat, you're already going to see a bit of, a bit of an uptick in minutes. And I will say one thing I'm looking at is the scheduling. You know, who, what teams are playing what. We talked about Steph Curry being MVP caliber at this point, an MVP candidate. He's playing some pretty soft teams in the upcoming weeks. I think, or upcoming a couple games at least. You know, I was looking at before they're going to be playing the Pelicans, the Kings, the Mavericks don't really play that much defense. The Rockets have had issues. The Timberwolves don't play much defense. The Pelicans allow a lot of points. I see a lot of threes being shot by a young Steph Curry. And I think for the most part, a lot of these, like I said before, because of Kappa's team being on that fringe of, we have to make the play a chance at that 10 seed, whether it's the East or the West. He has a lot of Western Conference players. I really do see that those are going to have some uptick of numbers compared to the Castal don'ts, who have a lot more teams that are already in the playoffs, or at least have a really great shot of already being in the playoffs, like that, having Capella, having, these other guys. So I'm looking at John Morant, who might be on the outside. I'm looking at Jokic. I'm looking at even Kelly Johnson? No, Keldon Johnson. He has some players already going to be in. I don't think they're going to be playing as often. Plus, the injuries are really plaguing the Castal don'ts really hard right now. LaMelo might be coming back soon. Who knows? But they're kind of trying to play it pretty safe with him. Christian Wood's been on and off. Jaren Jackson's been on and off. Capel's been dealing with some injuries. I think, though, he does have more games, I do feel that Kappa's team might pull away in terms of minutes played comparatively.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good thing to keep an eye out as well this week is, hey, as these teams reach the playoffs and they're going to be resting their starters, they're going to be taking days off. You're going to see these DNPs, just like we saw a lot in Benny's matchup. That's something mm-hmm. that I noticed as well from the Benny and Shokan this week is Benny had a lot of DNPs.
Like, oh, yeah.
You go back. I'm just looking at April 25th, like Chris Middleton and Draymond Green, having those guys sit out is detrimental. So in the last 2 weeks of the season for fantasy to have a DNP from these guys you've relied on all year is going to really, really hurt. So Casaldo, what does it look like on your side of the fence? What's the DNP situation in your mind?
I think that John's team, and I'm laughing over here as Brian's talking, because he keeps saying Castal don't. And I keep hearing my name and like thinking, is he talking about my team? So it's really just ridiculousness of the naming choice by John's team, but I'm a big fan. I think that as far as the Castal don'ts injury concerns, it is a huge problem that I think could be his downfall if one thing is going to be the reason, the Achilles heel of why this team doesn't make it all the way. You see that you have injury concerns with Clint Capella right now, Christian Wood. Jaren Jackson's going to be on that knee injury management where you don't know if he's going to be playing a full workload. Those injuries could be the thing that gives Kappa that edge, because even though Kappa is facing that slight problem with the Zach LaVine being in the protocol right now, he's not going to get him back until halfway through the matchup. That might even it out for John in the first half of the matchup, but in that second week when Kappa's fully healthy and John might not be, I think the injury concerns are a big thing to be considering. And to answer your question about how are you going to approach and what are the thoughts around plug and plays and streamers and waivers and everything, I think when you're in a position like John, where you might have 2 to 3 players that might not be playing every single game, if you get the opportunity to plug them on your IR, if it's not just DTD, if it's full on out, you want to take advantage of being very choice about the players that you're picking up and making sure that they're not just only fulfilling one category, but they're not ruining another category. Like we were saying about field goal percentage. It doesn't matter if you need to push to go over the edge in assists, which we discussed is one of those up for grabs categories. If in process, that guy that's not a top tier player in the league is going to shoot 1 for 11 that night and screw you in the field goal percentage, which we've all seen happen so many times also. So I think that with injury comes a need to plug players in, and that comes with in calling for extreme mindfulness on who are you plugging in? Are they doing more good than they're doing bad? So I think that the injury thing is a big concern. And then also in terms of those players that are in contention or those teams that are just in the mix of being in that 7, 8, 9, 10 seed, so they can at least be in the play-in tournament, get a spot in the playoffs. I think that there's an even distribution on both Kappa and John's side, because some of John's biggest players, Russell Westbrook, is on a Wizards team that's currently the 10 seed and is one game out of being out of the play-in tournament. Then you have the Grizzlies are the 8 seed right now, but could easily fall out of that contention as they're only separated by 2 or 3 games. So when you have John Morant, Jaren Jackson, and Russell Westbrook all having to play at their top level to secure a playoff run, you then have those players on the other side, like Steph Curry, who's going to be really pushing to get the Warriors in the playoff picture, and that whole Pelicans team that's going to really be trying to get into this 10 seed competing with all these guys. So I think that when considering the plug and play, when considering who needs to play the best for you, it might be an extra layer of consideration what teams are going to be playing for their lives versus what teams are going to be kind of relaxing at the top of their respective conference.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so speaking to more of the plug and play players themselves, how much have you guys dug into the waiver wire and how much are you even taking into consideration? Like, Bilu, just by your reaction, it seems like you dug into it. So what do you got?
So for me, John and I have had this conversation before in terms of course, we want to be raiding the waiver wire right now, making our teams as best as possible, but we are having to leave. I made one move to get Rondo. I dropped him and got D Rose, and those were my moves that I made. But I've been just watching the games. You're going to see players who are going to get more run, and they've actually so far done a great job of picking up players who have gotten more run as time has gone on, especially as of late. I mean, Kappa's made a lot of great moves. I think, honestly, to shout Ian out before we get to the last matchup, he did a great job this past week too. But, you know, the additions of Brissett on the Pacers, who has gotten a great amount of run, like 25, 42, 38 minutes last three games, you know, putting up 13, 6, 23, 12, 11, 11 with a couple blocks. Like, he's really done a great job with that. But for me, players that really stick out are players like a Kendrick Nunn, who, because the Heat are, you know, injury prone, they Spoelstra's very cautious with his team, and he always kind of sits at least one of his stars at one game, whether it's Hero, Jimmy Butler, Bam, doesn't matter. He is always a fan of resting his guys. But if I'm looking at players right now to scoop up, I'm looking at the hot teams that have some players that are on the wire. Reggie Bullock, putting up threes like it's nobody's business, efficiently shooting. He's had double-digit points in at least the last 6 games, and he has a lot of run, 35 minutes, 41, 37, 38, 40, 37, as a part of that 9-game winning streak. Look for those players who are getting run on hot teams. You know, I'm looking at, even if we talked about before with trying to get a guy who can actually, you know, add to your team in all categories. We've said his name many a time. I'm not sure if you know where I'm going with this, but Royce O'Neal is still out there. The old five category guy. He plays a lot of minutes, at least there, you know, at least 25 minutes the last, you know, 5 games he's played. And he puts up steals, gets blocks. And like we said before, steals are a big category that would be up in the air. And he actually shoots pretty efficiently when he decides to put up shots. So I'm going with those two guys off the rip. Actually, those three guys, I should say, off the rip. And I have guys as low as D'Anthony Melton. I think he's another guy who's a young guy, can put up some points in a hurry and shoots efficiently and can get a couple assists on the board for them too. So those are 4 guys I'm always looking at. But Kendrick Nunn. My boy. I appreciate him a lot. It's my boy. Really, he really is.
Love it. Love it. Well, we're running a little short on time here, so I want to keep things moving forward. Final predictions, guys. Let's hear them. John DC, I'll start with you. Bilu, I'll let you close.
Sure. You see, this is a tough scenario because I got a lot of love for the two guys that we're talking about right here. Nick Kappa, we're born on the same day. We have that connection. We both root for the Clippers. It's hard to go against him in any other scenario, but I was given the task to deep dive into John's season and the stats that have fueled him to be in the position where he's in right now. Some of those stats were truly alarming, seeing the depth of league leaders that he had on his team. We went into those assist leaders. He dominates in the rebounding space. He is the rebounding leader in Clint Capella, number 8 in Jokic, and number 9 in Russ. He has the number 4 steal leader in Van Fleet. He has the number 3 block leader in Clint. It's just, he has so many players that can make a difference in these individual categories. And like you said, and like we've said, Fletch, you only have to win 5 out of 4. And I think that if John is truly dominant in rebound, steals, and blocks, and he more times than not can stuff the sheet in terms of points as well, then all he needs to do is win one additional category. That's not going to be free throws and threes, because that's Kappa's forte. But I think that if John can just avoid injury, make the right plugs, and try to zero in on one additional category, I think that he's going to have the pieces to fulfill the prophecy that we saw unfolding all season long, which is he has a lot of experience in fantasy basketball. He has his alleged sheet of data that we will not get eyes on, but has been mentioned many times. And I think that it's his experience in this game that is going to give him the edge when it comes to crunch time in these next 2 weeks. So I'm going with John.
All right. I like it. I'm going to go against that, of course. Got to ride for Kappa. And again, said it before, Shokan, I think, might be the best owner, just in my perspective, the best owner, because he knows when to hold him and when to fold him, when to trade him. You know, he's done a really good job of managing. Even this past 2 weeks, only made 4 moves, which, whether he's confident in his team long term or just didn't see the need to in this immediate matchup, he's made some really great moves. With that in mind, I think Kappa's team really has shown, just like, you know, the Gasol don'ts, the dominance in their premier categories. I see Kappa winning field goal percentage, free throw percentage, 3-pointers made. I see them winning in steals, even though right now he's not leading. He's not beating the Gasol don'ts in steal. Jay Sean Tate has averaged like 3 steals a game the last week and a half. So he's coming on really strong. I think he's going to have some great guard play as well. I think he's going to beat him in points. And I think he might be – so right there is 1, 2, 3, 4 – and I think he's going to beat him in turnovers. I think with Steph Curry's about to go beast mode. He's about to stay in it. Jason Tatum, beast mode again. And the rest of the guys he has on his team aren't really ball handlers like that. So I don't think there's going to be a ton of turnovers from that team. Let's just hope that Zach LaVine and Gordon Hayward can get some run, because those are going to be monumental players missing if they're not, you know, they're going to be running, especially with the 3-pointers made. But I do see Kappa coming away with a win, a close win at that. But I definitely think Kappa is going to come away with some good stuff and the hardware for 801 boys.
And so to break the tie, my own personal thoughts out of everything that was said here today, some stats I look into on my own and just basically looking forward, I think I'm going to have to ride with Shokan's team as well. I mean, he's been top of the table ever since week one. You really can't doubt him and the players he has on his team. I mean, absolutely ridiculous. Who let this guy draft this team? Seriously. Jokic, Rozier has been amazing. Capella, John Morant, Van Vliet. I mean, the list goes on and on. And just looking forward, he's got more games to play than Kappa does, even if players stay healthy that are healthy right now, if they stay healthy, or the ones that are hurt come off. He'll have more games. At the end of the day, that's what it's about, is the number of minutes. So I think Shokan's just got to hold on to the field goal percentage and he'll have the win. But there's still a lot more basketball to play. One of these guys is going to get the $200 win. The other ones are going to get 75. And then, of course, Benny and Ian are going to be competing for the $25 spot. So basically, we're wrapping up here. We've got about 2.5 minutes on the Zoom call because they didn't give me that free upgrade. Hate to see it.
Shaking my head. not mad at all.
Any closing statements from either of you guys on the state of the league right now? Go for it.
I will say.
Or show, Johnny, say, go for it.
John, please. Okay, well, I will say that there is a wild card that could come into play, and that's with the injury concerns that are coming from John, that might result in more points on Kappa's side. But then again, that might result in less turnovers on John's side. So I think that really, if I had to sum this up in anything throughout this whole pod, it's that both teams should have head down focus on the field goal percentage. I think that it's crazy how a league with 9 categories can come down to 1.
but I think that it's going to come down to a one game difference or one category difference in who wins this championship. And I think that with the Zach LaVine injury, it might even things out in terms of the injury scenario. And we might see one of the closest matchups that we've seen this season in the game that matters the most. So as a fan of this league, as a fan of this podcast, I can't wait to see how this turns out. And I think that it's going to set a huge expectation for everyone to be pumped for next season, because it's going to end with a nail biter, if I had to predict.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Definitely looking forward to next season as well. I know we really didn't get to the off-season rule changes or anything like that today, but that's all right. We'll just push that down the road a little bit longer. We'll kick the can, and hopefully we can get back on in a podcast before next season.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, that opens us up for another pod, Fletch, and I know the people are always waiting for more.
That's right. Bilu, any closing statements? You got less than a minute.
You got it. I'll be really quick. Biggest thing is, if these guys are deciding to drop players, understand when you're dropping these guys. It could be before the weeks are up, could be claimed and picked up right away. And also understand that these guys will have games to come back. If you have a bad quick game, they're going to come back. They're going to be the guys who've been solid the entire time. So don't be too quick to drop in these last 2 weeks.
That's right. All right. That's everything, boys. Thank you for listening. Thanks for an awesome season. We'll see you guys soon. Thanks so much.